Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrell, America's favorite Southern Belle, and I thank you so much for joining me on such a beautiful Saturday. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you are here with me, and for that, I promise you, I am so thankful. Thank you. Well, today's topic is I Do Take You, and this is part two of a show that aired a couple of weeks ago. And if you missed part one, you missed a real treat. I have to tell you, the panel was phenomenal. The topics were extremely real, as always, and the answers, of course, were real. So we had to finish out this discussion because I received several other questions that, you know, callers wanted answers to, listeners wanted answers to, and some new ones. So I decided, you know what, let's continue this discussion today. So before we jump into the discussion today and joined by our special guest, Dr. Lindiri Achievers, as well as the phenomenal poet Doug Berry. Just want to kind of give you an update on some things that are going on for those of you who are just catching the show. This is the normal airing time, 11:30. Some weeks we have big episodes and we have to push the time back to accommodate our special guests. Next week is a jam-packed show. Next week you need to be here with me because I'm telling you the topic, why black women are alone. And, you know, I got mixed feelings about this topic. I really just have to be honest about that. But why black women are alone, and started out just with these co-authors, Hank Bullitt and Jacquez Douglas, wrote a book, Why Black Women Are Alone, The Truth Revealed. And starting the book, I got to tell you, next week you really want to be here because this show is called Real Talk Radio for a reason, and next week the topic is very real, and I promise you the discussion will be extremely real. So starting with them, but from there the topic has expanded a little bit more into, I guess you could say, the other side of what is really going on with them and this discussion, because Karen Fallon is an author, and her book is titled Don't Bring a White Boy Home. And the book is about the notions and things that African-American black women hear growing up, you know, all of the little sayings, can't use your comb, don't bring him home, and, you know, all of those things. And so she wrote a book about it because she actually married outside of her race and, you know, just really sort of wants to kill that slave mentality way of thinking about things. So she will be on the show as well. We're starting with her at about 11:45, 12 o'clock, hopefully start with her, her interview portion, discussing her book. I'm very excited about that. Then moving on to Bullitt and Douglas' book, Why Black Women Are Alone. So next week, telling you, you definitely want to tune in. The following week, the last Saturday of the month, we'll have Larry Jamison on the show, and he is an empowerment speaker, and I had the opportunity to briefly chat with him on Thursday where he was hosting a workshop, and I asked if he would be interested in coming on Real Talk and talking to my listeners about his book, because he has the tools that everyone needs in this economy. He has the wisdom to tell you how to maintain a great job, gain a great job in this economy. And so I am so excited about him being on the show. And, of course, June series is coming up, and June is all about phenomenal women. I'm telling you, I love phenomenal women. Anytime I'm around a woman that I consider to be phenomenal, I feel like I need to, it just sort of boosts me up a little bit more. I'm like, okay, I really need to be on my P's and Q's around this individual, because it sort of just brings you out. You know, definitely the company you keep definitely impacts the way you behave. I 100% believe that. So far I know that for the June series, Louise Rice, who is the 23rd national president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, she will be part of the June series. I got several others. I'm still waiting on, you know, them to confirm their date and time. So if there's anyone that you consider to be a phenomenal woman and you would like to hear them on Real Talk Radio, definitely send me an email and let me know who exactly it is that you would like to hear, because, again, this show is not about me. This show is about you. Everything I do is for you. If it was all about me, I would probably never speak again, because what's the point in doing things if you aren't helping anyone? Last thing, we will be joined at the end of the hour by Audacious, and for my frequent listeners, you know that Audacious is an empowerment speaker and spoken word poetress out of Texas, and she is phenomenal, to say the least, and she is in Albany right now. Excuse me, take that out of my mouth. She's in Atlanta right now, and she is coming on to talk about some of the things that she has going. So definitely, definitely excited about that. Kay Sherrell apparently is just a real person, and I would like to go ahead and let you be the first to know, because I haven't even put it out there into the world yet, but I have a new show that is coming very soon. Hopefully it will start in June, and it's Sunday evenings, and it's not Blog Talk. This is Magic Groove, and Magic is spelled with a J, not a G. MagicGroove.com is another internet radio show. Definitely play beautiful music that just really just, it's that soothing music. It's not one of those sites where you hear all of the profanity and, you know, things like that. They play a lot of easy listening music. And so Sunday night, I will have my own show on Magic Groove titled After Dark with Kay Sherrell. So I'm so excited about that. You know, the After Dark back in the day, used to talk about when the street lights come on, you know, it's time for the kids to go home and go to bed. When the kids go to bed, it's after dark. It's time for you to unwind with me, your girl, Kay Sherrell, America's favorite Southern Belle. Those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio. I am the host, Kay Sherrell. The topic of the day is I Do Take You Part 2. This series is all about relationships and dispelling and answering the questions. So right now, we'd love to go ahead and bring on the first panel guest of today. She did the first part of the series with us, and I got so much positive feedback about her responses and the things that, you know, questions answered, and it helped the listeners. So definitely want to welcome back on Dr. Landeria T-Ruth. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Kay Sherrell. Certainly. I most certainly can hear you this morning. How are you?
Oh, I am well. I am in the big city of Sylvester, GA, burning
right.
Up. It's so high down here, burning
wow.
Up.
I'm familiar with those neck of the woods.
So you're familiar with the heat. I know you're familiar with the heat.
Yes. I feel your pain.
I'm talking about, I woke up this morning, the sun was so bright, I was like, oh my goodness, why is it so brown? So I, like, it was hot at 9 o'clock. Like, what in the world is it doing being hot at 9?
Well, if it's any consolation, I don't think it's any cooler here in the Atlanta area. It was pretty muggy, humid, and steamy at about 9 a.m. In Atlanta.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm still ready to get back to Atlanta. Atlanta, I miss you. I'm coming back soon, I promise.
And we miss you, too. We miss you, too.
Well, definitely so excited you're back on the show. I got a lot of positive feedback about your answers. Even the other panel members were telling me how much your answers, your responses really sort of helped them.
And that's encouraging because anytime I'm presented with a question or a challenge or an opportunity to enlighten or instruct, the first thing that I do is I'm prayerful. Ask God to give me nuggets of wisdom from His Word. And so many of us, we read God's Word, but we're not able to apply it to our daily lives. And so not only do I ask for revelation of those nuggets, but I ask for illumination, that's understanding, and then inspiration. Help me and inspire me, move me forward to apply this to my daily life, to walk it out. Because the Word doesn't need to be just on our lips, on our tongue, and in our throat. It really needs to be in our heart. It needs to be deeply rooted in our inner man so that we live it out daily.
Definitely, definitely. 100% can agree with you on that because so many people think church is just Sunday. The Word can only come to you through a pastor, but you have to develop your own relationship and, you know, work on that relationship on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And that personal relationship, if you're in a congregation and the only person that's hearing from the Lord is the pastor, you're in the wrong place. Either you're in the wrong place or you haven't dug in deeply enough to develop that relationship with God, because we have the ability to connect directly with our Father. Gone are the Old Testament days where we had to connect to the Father through the priest. And so we all have the opportunity to develop a personal relationship with Him, to not only talk with Him, but hear from Him. It should be a two-way conversation. Absolutely.
Yes, it definitely should, like any relationship should be, whether you're talking about a spiritual relationship or an earthly relationship with another individual, it should always be two-way conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It should never just be one side talking all the time or one side listening all the time.
All right. Say that.
Well,
she said it.
The questions that always come about are always so interesting to me because I'm just wondering, you know, I don't know. So I don't really know what to say to sort of build to this question. But one of the questions that were asked, should a Christian woman ask a man out on a date if she's interested?
No. Absolutely not. Because, again, you have gone and overstepped your boundaries. We need to learn to maintain our lane. Clearly, an example that's given, the first marriage in the Bible in Genesis, the man first, Adam was created first, and then we see the example where the man of God was sent out to find a wife for his master's son in Genesis 24. And so the servant went out and sought and looked for the wife. And so we should be found. Men find and we are found. And no, we should not do that. That does a couple of things in the relationship. You have been taking the lead in the relationship. You have usurped the rightful authority in that relationship. And I am a liberated, independent woman, but I understand my role. And I understand that through loving and submitting unto the head in the relationship, that's my responsibility. His responsibility is a little bit more difficult in a marriage. He is responsible and should be willing to lay down his life for me. So I'll let him have that role. I'll let him have the headship role, and I'll maintain my place.
See, now, when I read that question, my thought was, I don't know why. I don't see wrong with it because, I don't know, I'm trying to think, if I I don't think that I have, but I've never viewed it as something negative just because of, I don't know, because some guys are a little too shy at some time. I mean, I've been told that by guys that they're like, well, you know, I'm too shy to ask her out what if she says no, or, you know, they're intimidated by the way she looks or what she has, and they are afraid of being rejected. So I took a different stance on it. I was actually thinking, I was like, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with asking him out, but definitely don't want to just sort of manhandle the relationship. That was what I was thinking.
Right. And I understand your position. But you have to think about, Kim, what is your desired outcome? If your desired outcome, if you're looking for a mate, if you want to be married, then do you really want to a mate that's too shy to ask the question? A man's role is to provide and protect and be fruitful and be productive. Provide, protect, and produce. If he's too shy to ask the question, then perhaps then we're not equally yoked. He's not the one for me. Because I understand we have strong personality. I know that you are a very strong, intelligent, independent woman. You have many business ventures. There's going to take a strong brother to step to you, and that's what you want. You want to be equally yoked.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And, I mean, you know, I've just never thought about it that way because I don't think I've ever asked anyone out, but I don't really know why that is either, though. I just never have, you know, as far as that we'll do the number exchange and that kind of thing, but I just never have. And I guess, I don't know, I never thought about it in that sense, but I can definitely agree because, yeah, thinking about it in that light, if he can't ask you out, you know, he can't lead a household.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I concur.
Wow.
And you mentioned an interesting topic. You said dating. We as believers, we as Christians, we have to be careful with this idea of dating. I think that as when we're young and we're single and we're not ready yet to be married, I don't really think we should get into serious dating or spending a lot of time one-on-one with a person and we know we're not ready to be married. If we know that God hasn't polished us and made us ready to be found by our husband, for the women and for the guys, if we know that we haven't built the nest, put all of those things in place, and we're not ready to find, we should be very careful about spending a lot of time with one person and spend a lot of one-on-one time. It's okay to hang out in groups, to socialize so that we understand the communication styles of men and women, but we need to be very careful about spending that one-on-one time.
Yeah.
Until we're ready to be found or find.
Now that I can agree with because I can say that I have had my own experience with that, and I'm a very honest person. People who know me personally know that I'm an extremely honest person. I'm a little bit blunt sometimes in my responses, but one of the things that I always tell guys when they approach me, if you don't mean me any good, just leave me where I am, you know. And I have been approached by guys who have not been ready for a relationship, and they approach me, and then they want to enter into a relationship and realize that the responsibility of the relationship is too much for them right now, and then they feel the need to then exit or want the speech of, well, why, you know, will you just wait on me? I just need to go and live a little bit more. And once I'm done living it up, then I'm going to come back to you when I'm ready in a few years. And I always think that they're on probably the worst form of glue in the world to even say that.
You wonder, what are they smoking, right?
Yeah, like what type of glue are you on? Is it paste? Obviously, you're still eating paste.
Yeah,
and that's,
childish, yes.
And that's
absolutely.
a big thing because, you know, that was one of the things that I talked about on the first one. You have to be careful about what you pray for and what you ask for. And if you're not ready for one, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm not ready for a relationship, and then just live your life or whatever without that commitment. But if you, you know, start saying that you want these things and when it comes to you, you have to be ready then to take it on, to fully take it on. You cannot do the half-stepping with it. You cannot.
Absolutely. And you said we have to pray, and we must be prayerful. One of the first prayer points that we would take is, Lord, prepare me to be found. Show me those things that would not please you in a marriage, and then perfect me, well, prepare me to be found by my mate. And then the other thing that we as women can be prayerful about is, Lord, connect me only with those destiny helpers, those who are going to help me along the way in fulfilling my destiny. And that would include your partner, would include your business partners. And then you can also conversely pray, Lord, those who are on a diabolical assignment, those who are sent to throw me off path, that are sent to deter me in any way or discourage me in any way, Father, send them on their way. Let not our paths cross. Cause me to be blind. Cause them to be blinded to me. You know, cause them not to see me. So I think those are wonderful prayer points that we need to take as single women for ourselves. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but the spirit realm is open. So God has a wonderful assignment for you, a wonderful assignment for me. The enemy knows about that assignment. He's going to send people your way to throw you off track. And I think we have seen, even with well-known ministers, how people have just been sent their way or directed into their path to just kind of throw them off track.
Yes.
So we have to be mindful. We have to be careful about that.
Yes. And you know, and I have to say it really plays on spiritual immaturity to think that the enemy is not going to attack.
Oh, yeah.
I think that shows spiritual immaturity because, you know, that is definitely one of the things, because you have to look at the design of man. What was man's purpose? What was the purpose of woman? And, you know, as far as, you know, the family and everybody, and then giving it all back to Christ, giving it all back to God. So, of course, the enemy wants to deter you and stop you along the way to keep you from having those things, keep you from being spiritually fruitful.
Right, absolutely. And if we would read our word, we would know that, because it says that no weapon formed will prosper. So that means that the weapons will form. That means that, you know, the kingdom of darkness is busy forming the weapons. If we are in right relationship with God and we're in the right place with him, he will hide us in that secret place. He hide us in his pavilion, and those weapons will not prosper in our lives. So that's wonderful. This is awesome. This is the kind of thing that single women need to hear because so many of us have become discouraged, and we're like, Lord, send me my man. Where is he? But we need to develop that foundational relationship with God, and we do that through prayer and studying his word, being active in our local assemblies. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. A wonderful example, a wonderful love story in the Bible is when Ruth was found by Boaz. Now, we know that Ruth was outminded. She was working. She wasn't sitting around twiddling her thumbs saying, Lord, send me a man. Where is he? Fasting and going and praying and, you know, going to have people say special prayers for her husband. She was working in the vineyard, working in God's kingdom. And her husband found her serving God, found her working. So I think that as single women, we would better serve ourselves by taking that approach, busy with what he has committed, what God has committed into our hands, and doing it with an excellent spirit and falling in love with him, developing a relationship with him.
100%. A friend of mine who also has a show on Magic Group on Sunday, Sunshine, she says all the time that a woman's heart should be so close to God that a man has to first seek him to find her.
Yes, absolutely.
And I said 100%. The next question that was asked, how do you know when it's time to walk away from a relationship?
So this is a relationship prior to marriage. because we know that God's word says in marriage, God hates the divorce. And the only thing I found in my Bible that would justify a divorce is adultery. And even when there is adultery, I think that we should be prayerfully led of whether or not that marriage can be salvaged. So this is a premarital relationship. It's time to walk away when it's not fruitful, when it's not glorifying God, when it's not moving in the direction that you would want it to go. If you truly desire to be a wife, if you want to serve in the ministry of wife or you want to serve in the ministry of husband, and it's not moving in that direction, it's time to walk away. And again, we must be prayerfully led. We must, you know, seek God's face about that relationship and any other relationship, any other decision. And he will speak to you. He will guide you. He may give you a scripture in the Bible. There may be a word that comes from the altar in your local assembly during Sunday morning service. Or he may speak to you in a still, quiet voice and say, you know what, it's time to cut your losses and move on. That's not for you. I have something better for you in mind. But I think we don't fully trust God. You know, we're sometimes afraid to let go of that zero, and we don't want to wait for the hero that he wants to send us. We're afraid of letting go of the bozo to wait for our Boaz.
Yeah, and, you know, and that I had to tell a friend of mine that I said, you know, I've come to realize that what we want and what we need matches what in about 90%. So you can gain 10% of what you need if you are willing to let go of 10% of something that you just want versus losing 10% of what you need for something you want. So you have the choice of either having, you know, the 90 or the 100, but it's based off of the needs and wants. And I think sometimes we get a little too caught up in the wants and we are a little too afraid of being alone because I don't really know why people get afraid of being alone, because I've never been afraid to be alone, because my thing is I can make myself unhappy. I don't need you here to make me unhappy. I don't need any help with unhappiness. I can be unhappy by myself.
Right, and I understand that. But that desire to be with someone, to have a companion, is created by God. God created us as communal beings. He didn't create us to live alone. Because when you look at the creation, when God created everything, he said it's good. You know, he was like thumbs up, you know. And if God said it's good, you know, I'm just willing to believe it's good. But then when he saw man was alone, he was like, wait a minute, hold up, stop the presses. This ain't good.
Yeah.
And so he did get a woman as his companion. And so there is this desire that's created by God for us to have companionship. That you know, that's created by God, and that's okay. But we have to first seek that foundational relationship with him and be content and happy and productive serving him. We can't look to someone to make us happy. We look to someone to complement that happiness and peace and joy, because God is going to make us happy, but we look to someone to complement that which God has already done in our lives. Now, if you haven't allowed God to work those things out, if you haven't allowed God to create that peace and happiness within you, you're not ready for a mate. Because remember, you have to allow God to do these things in your life, and then perhaps you're ready for a mate to come along and complement what God has done.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. No further comment is necessary, I don't think, on my end. Yes.
And God doesn't have to do a thing. He perfects it. So when he makes you happy, when he makes you peaceful, you really don't need anybody else to make you happy or peaceful, but it's just like an added bonus, you know, a plus-plus. It allows us to be more effective in ministry, more effective in business, because the word of God says that one shall chase 1,000 and two shall chase 10,000. That's exponential effectiveness. You know, when you look at that, those are the kinds of things in God's word that confound the wise. One shall chase 1,000 and two shall chase 10,000? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But that's God's math. And again, if he said it, I believe it. I look forward to being found by the man of God so that we may come together and create a godly synergy to do awesome things in the kingdom, do awesome things in family, do awesome things in the world.
Yes. Now, this next question is interesting because I've actually heard, you know, been in a discussion where this question was asked before, and the response was a little bit intense off of some of the people. The question I'm asked, once you are in a committed relationship or you get married, is it a woman's responsibility to maintain the same look she had when they first got together?
It is a woman's responsibility to care for her body in a manner that pleases God, and that's scriptural. We have to take care of our temple. We need our temple to be strong to carry the gospel. We need our temple to be strong to teach. We need our temple to be strong to effect change in our spheres of influence. And so, no, it's not acceptable to let yourself go because it's not pleasing to God. It is not pleasing to God. And so if you were not healthy when you married, try to get healthy to please the Lord. If you were healthy when you married, try to maintain that health to please the Lord. And you should be the joy and the apple of his eye. Why would you not want to bring him joy? Why would you not want to maintain your appearance?
Hey, that was, you know, that's in my thinking in that because I know me personally, I don't like to gain weight. I don't like to go too long without going to a salon. I like the pedicures and the manicures and all of those things. But some of the women were highly offended and said that he should love me whether I am a size 2 or I'm a size 22. His love for me should not change over the course of those years. And even some of the women use the excuse of, well, you know, after you have children, you're going to gain weight. So he should love me regardless.
Everything is in a constant state of change. Our appearance will change over the years, and beauty fades. You know, the word tells us that, you know, beauty is fleeting. But, again, we are charged with taking care of our temple. And we want to help that man in his Christian walk. Now, if every time he comes home, he's looking at some hair rollers, he's looking at something that doesn't look all that great, are we really helping him along in his Christian walk? Now, he may be, you know, pretty strong and have a solid relationship with the Lord that no matter what goes on, he will not waver. But most brothers are not there yet. So let's help that brother along in our Christian walk. Let's not do anything that would cause our brother to fall.
Yeah.
And again,
we must
take care of our temple. It pleases the Lord first and foremost. It pleases God first and foremost. When we look at the kingdom, Kim, church folk are some of the sickest, run-down folk you want to see. And I hate to put it out there like that, but we really have to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. We need to be in the gym. We need to pay attention to our numbers, our blood pressure, our cholesterol. We need to take care of ourselves. And when you walk into the kingdom, when you walk into a church, those should be the prettiest women that you could find anywhere. And we don't have to look like the old missionary from back in the day. Now, that means that we must do things good, decent, and order. It should not be a flesh factory in the church. But we should be the most beautiful flowers of the Most High God.
I agree. I 100% agree. And the thing about it is, you live longer. I say, wouldn't you want to live longer so that you and he could be together longer? Like, don't you want as many years together on earth as you could possibly have? All of those things shorten it, and I say it all the time because one of the running jokes about me is about my ethnicity because I don't engage in so many things that I guess most people would consider to be stereotypical of the black community. I'm not a huge fried food eater, nor am I very big on pork. I'm not a huge meat eater anyway. And then I don't eat salt. You don't see me salt food. If I put salt in anything, it's because I'm cooking and other people are going to eat. But, you know, they're always making that joke about it. And my thing is it's not going to add value to my life. It's not going to add years to my life. Only thing it's going to do is take away. You're eating fried foods all the time. You have all of this salt. You're clogging your arteries. You're putting yourself at risk for heart attacks, strokes, all of these things that take away from your life. Why not take some of that back?
Absolutely. And we should hold on to those cultural things that will benefit us. If it doesn't benefit us, let it go. If it's not linked to the Word of God, let it go. And they say, well, my grandmother ate that way, my father ate that way. Grandma and daddy worked harder than you did. Grandma and daddy did physical labor. I don't know about you, Kim, but I go sit down every day at a desk behind, you know, in front of a computer, and my workload does not justify my eating all of that stuff. So, yeah, we have to take care of our temples. We have to be mindful that we need to be strong to serve the Lord. We don't need to be run down and tired and sluggish. The first thing is it pleases God to take care of your temple. The second thing is it pleases your husband. It pleases your wife. And this is for the brothers, too. Brothers, if you were 38 in the waist when you married the sister, don't let it get up to 46 and you got stuff hanging all day. I don't want to see it. If I married you at a 38, you know, so.
I married you at a 38. I want you to be a 36 at our anniversary. it's true, though, and this is a fact. This is something people don't know because this year, 2010, I said, was all about adding value to life, and that's why I'm doing these shows that I think will help people in some way, and as well as myself, because now, you know, I've been slowly cutting back on a lot of different things and trying to get a little bit more active in other areas, changed the workout a little bit, picked up playing racquetball, and I gave up soda. And everybody's like, "Why?" Do you know that if you do nothing outside of your normal, what you're doing, that you can gain a minimum of 5 pounds a year just by drinking sodas alone?
Five pounds, and it adds up. Yes, it really does. It adds up.
So you gain five this year, you gain five next year, you've now went up a full dress size. You know, when you think about that over the course of 20 years of being
it adds up. So bottom line is take care of your temple. It pleases the Lord. It pleases your husband and your wife. Kim, I'm going to have to go at about 12:30, so if we want to take a few more questions, that would be great. But bottom line for that one is, Kim, I agree with you. Keep it tight. Keep it tight. Keep it right.
Yes, keep it tight. Keep it right. Moving on to the next question. It says that, okay, well, just read it how it goes. It says, I am in a committed relationship and I am in love. We both know that we're going to get married, but he doesn't think he wants children and I do.
First of all, are they both in a committed relationship? Because sometimes we make assumptions. We presume that we're in a committed relationship. So the first thing she needs to verify is, are they both committed to the relationship? Is there exclusivity? The second thing is, we both want to get married. Has he asked her to marry? And then the third thing, those questions about the family, those things would come into that pre-engagement and premarital counseling. And if you know you want children and that person is saying they don't want children, that person is not for you.
Amen.
I don't care how much we say we loved it at him and he loved it at us. You got to move on.
Yes.
Got to move
on. And it goes back to this quote. I say it all the time. When a person shows you who they really are,
believe them. And if he tells you
he doesn't want kids, don't go off of that.
Believe him.
He's going to change his mind. What if he doesn't change his mind? Now you've already created a situation where there's going to be some type of resentment. He's going to resent you for wanting them. You're going to resent him for not wanting them. Believe him. He's telling you he doesn't want kids. Believe him. Why are you still there? What's the question?
Right. You're absolutely right. And they're unequally yoked. Because it seems like she understands the purpose of marriage. She understands what God said about marriage and family. She's there. She's so there. But he doesn't quite understand the purpose of marriage and the purpose of family. So, you know, they're even unequally yoked when we look at it scripturally.
Yes.
So, yeah, yes. It's time to move on, sweetheart.
Yes. It's interesting because too often we hold on to things past their expiration. You know, and we do that with every walk. We do it with everything else. You know, everybody has that pair of shoes that's their favorite. But Lord knows those shoes are about, you know, 2 footsteps away from having a hole in the sole, and we're still holding on to them, you know, trying to pack it up. And we do that with everything. You want to hold on, you know, to your leftovers until the very last day before you got to throw them away. You know, the mold going to set in tomorrow. You're still holding on to it. And I don't understand why necessarily we do that as people, but definitely don't keep anything past the shelf. Like, act like it's milk. And after this date is full, toss it, you know. This is my comment. I've always said this because this is one of the things that I had to realize. God did not put us on this earth to be alone. Do not be afraid to let go of something that is not working because you feel like you're going to be alone. I don't believe in that. God did not put us here to be alone. You know, if God sent you that man, he will send you another. You just have to continue to believe in him and do what thus says the word, and you will not be alone. Do not be afraid. Do not.
Yeah, we have to be willing to move on, let go of the zeros so that God can allow us to be found by, you know, the man of God who is to be our husband and whom we are to serve as help meet. Yes, ma'am.
Next question says, do you believe cheaters can be reformed? Or once a
Absolutely.
Cheater, always a cheater?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing too hard for God. Now, I have great respect for counselors, and I don't know what they're doing in the sex rehab facilities. But if they're not talking about the redemptive quality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then they will not experience true reformation, restoration, healing, and deliverance from sexual sin. Usually the cheating is a manifestation. That's like the head. You know, that's what we see on the surface. But usually there are so many roots to that thing. Well, so many branches to that thing that connects to a root, and we have to get to the root. It might be lust, it might be rejection, it might be fear, anxiety, but we have to get to the root of that matter, and we have to use the word of God to cut that thing away, to surgically remove that thing. And once it is surgically removed, it's going to leave a wound. It's going to be a hole. But what you do with that hole, you have to fill it with the word of God. You have to allow God to restore and heal. God can do anything.
Yes.
God
definitely.
Can do anything.
Definitely. I agree with you fully and completely on that. Want to get to one more question before I let you go, and because the show is only an hour today for my listeners. I know the last couple weeks y'all had the 90-minute shows, but only an hour today with your girl, Kay Sherrill, Real Talk Radio. This question is, it comes with a storyline, and then there's a question at the end. Question is about living with someone before your marriage. Says, I know that, you know, it has been long said that you are not to live together before you get married, but living together works out some of the kinks that come when you begin to share space with someone you are unfamiliar with. And I don't really see the harm, especially if we are getting married, but is it now in 2010 okay to live with someone prior to marriage?
The word of God doesn't change. It's not okay. No is not okay. No is not okay. And you have some brothers who will try to package that thing. You know, they're very smart. They'll play on your intellect. Well, don't you want to know how I am when I wake up in the morning? No. The word of God doesn't change. And when you look at it, let's look at it from a worldview. Divorce rates are higher among couples who cohabit. prior to marriage. If that's what it takes, if it takes me pulling, you know, statistics from the world to convince you, no, don't go that route.
Okay.
Don't go that route. And, you know, Grandma, what did Grandma always say, Kim? You know, we're both Southern girls. Grandma always said, why buy the what?
The cow.
If you can get the milk for free. Mm. So now we have some God's word that is not okay. We have statistics that say divorce rates are higher. And then we have Grandma that said, why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? So that's no, no, and no. Next question.
Exactly. Well, that was, I'm going to let the end with that question, but I got to tell you that this has really been interesting. But, you know, like I said, you changed my mind really in the thought process about the asking a guy out. Never really thought about it in that sense, but 100% get exactly what you're saying. Yeah, so I'm interested in the feedback from the listeners today, all of my online listeners. Give me your feedback. Let me know, do you agree with what we said? Are you disputing? But, I mean, all of the answers came from the Word. I don't really know how you argue with the Bible.
Right. And one other thing I'd like to add about that, Kim, that first question, yes, it's going to take a strong man to you because you are a strong woman, but also allow that softer side to come out. You know, I recall a time in my life where I was suited down every day because of the nature of what I did. I worked as an executive in higher ed. Suited down every day. But I've recently learned that a person who asked me out stepped forward to ask me out after he saw me in a pair of jeans. So let that softer, playful side come out, you know. Yes, be a little softer, you know, tap into, not saying that jeans are all that feminine, but the point is you don't always have to be business-minded, be the executive, in the suit, focus. Just be playful. Let your hair down a little bit. Soften up. Some of us,
you know,
strong women, we're too hard. The brother might be thinking, contemplating about asking you out, but he might be a little scared. You might be a little bit intimidating. So, yeah, let's just soften it a little bit. Let's be led by the Holy Spirit to do that which pleases the Lord and to have joy in our lives and just soften it up a little bit.
You know what? That is such an interesting point about the whole softening up a little bit because I don't know. I'm always a little bit shocked at some of the things, you know, people say. And one guy did tell me that, you know, I get approached by so many guys when I'm in, like, my workout clothes. Like, I've just left the gym. My hair's in a ponytail. You know, I got on sweats, so, you know, I'm a little workout clothes. And I get asked out all the time. And I'm thinking, but when I'm cute, in my mind, when I'm cute, nobody says anything. And a guy, you know, made a comment before because it's too intimidating.
Right.
You're more approachable dressed, you know, in your sweats and things. You seem like you're a little bit more down to earth. And if he's somebody that works out, you know, in his mind, it's already given him a way to begin to conversate. So
right. Have a conversation.
I thought
it
was interesting. Definitely.
Yeah. Don't become low-hanging fruit now. There's a difference. Don't
become
low-hanging fruit, but just soften it a little bit. Be more approachable. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I can see that. And so, ladies, yes, be a little bit more approachable. So I just want to say thank you to you again for coming back on the show and answering these questions. I don't know what happened to our guys. I think we might have scared them off because they were a little bit more quiet last time anyway. But, you know, I think we held the show down on our own just fine.
Absolutely. Kasherelle, you always do an outstanding job. Thank you for discussing these topics that are relevant, that are real, that are close to home. We appreciate your doing what you do. Keep it up. We love you. God bless you. And I look forward to coming and dancing at your wedding.
Hey, I look forward to dancing at that too. Now, we are together in that one. Thank you so much. You're always welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I gotta tell you, that was a dynamic conversation. I am just, you know, always like what, you know, the things that people ask and say about relationships and questions. But I do believe, got to keep the show moving, only a few minutes left, that I have my girl Audacious on the line, and she is in Atlanta. She promised me she was coming to Atlanta soon, and she is here. I saw her the other night at Urban Grind. If you did not see it, I promise you, you need to just go lay down in the middle of the street because you missed it. You missed it. You need to go nap in the street. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Hey, what's going on, K'Sherrell?
What is going on? How are you?
We're good. We're getting ready to head towards my new book for the book signing today. So we're a little bit excited, ready to do things.
Ready to go make the walls talk in Greenbrier Mall?
Oh, yeah, we have to.
Exactly. Why don't you tell everyone what you have going in Atlanta while you're making your stops? And you told me as well you're stopping off in Macon too, right?
Yeah, well, we may have to make some changes to that, but we're going to definitely be all through Atlanta this week. All through Atlanta. Well,
right,
we're here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, this week we're actually, today, of course, from 2 to 5 p.m., be at Greenbrier Mall and Madu Books doing the I Can Make Walls Talk book signing. So for everybody who's out in the area, come on by and stop by and have some fun. Also, along with me, because I'm on the Southern Made Tour 2010 with Lady B. Smooth, and she's right here on the line as well.
What's the deal, ATL?
So, Smooth.
What's going on, Miss K'Sherrell? Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me, and just want to say what's up. We're supposed to go to this book signing and get some of these books sold and leave some books there and meet some Atlanta folks. And, you know, we're going to be out there spitting poetry and everything and singing, too, in front of Greenbrier. So y'all come out.
Definitely, definitely need to come out. Now, I heard you Thursday at Urban Grind, and I'm telling you, your songs are going to pull them in because I was so pulled in when you started your poem out with the song. I was like, yeah, I want to get away. Let me I can get away.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, y'all come on through. We're going to get y'all away, and she definitely going to show y'all how to make wild sauce.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. Also, check us out. We're going to be all week. We're going to be at Apache on Sunday. We're going to be Monday night. We're actually featuring Monday night at the Gathering Grounds Coffee House. So definitely come out to that event. And then also on Wednesday, we're going to be over at Utopia as well off of Marietta Wednesday night. And we'll just be adding more stuff to the tour.
I was going to say, you've added to the list.
We're adding to the list. We're adding to the list. There's no way that we could have come all the way to Atlanta and not at a show. So, I mean, anywhere, anytime we can get on the mic, we're there.
I'm telling you. And I just got to tell everyone listeners, they all know that I'm not, like, a huge backer of everybody who does anything. But Audacious has turned me into a groupie. If she says she's going to someplace, I have to be that. I have officially turned into Audacious groupie. Like, I don't know how many groupies you have, but I am one now.
That's what's up. I aim to please. So we trying to make sure we leave Atlanta with a Southern Made experience. And also, okay, Check us out online. Both of us are online. You can check us out at audaciouslyspeaking.com. And then also you can check out Be Smooth
at myspace.com/LadyBeSmooth. But just say, Google me.
Oh, yeah.
Lady B. Smooth, and that's smooth with a V-E, baby, because I'm smoother than a wreck.
We are Googleable. That's the new word. We're Googleable.
Yes, that's what I tell everybody. It's like, you know, I'm Googleable. Like, I Google myself at least once a month just to see what pops up. I get all excited. So everybody, if you are in the Atlanta area, you don't have a reason not to go by Greenbrier Mall today to Mendu Books and stop by and see Audacious and Be Smooth. I'm telling you, you want to go, because when she says she can make walls talk, definitely. Be Smooth says she wants to get away. You're going to want to get away with her. You're going to want to put yourself in her suitcase, you know, be a little stowaway and go with her 100%. Ladies, I am in the deep south about to burn up.
But my plan is to be back in Atlanta before 5 o'clock to catch the book signing. But if I do not, I will definitely see you tomorrow at Apache and hopefully Monday at Gathering Grounds. So real quick, before y'all get off the line and we got to wrap the show up, run through the calendar one more time for people who listen a little bit slower than me.
All right. Today, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., Madu Books in Greenbrier Mall. Come check us out there. Tomorrow at 8:30, we'll be at Apache Cafe. Monday, the 17th, we'll be at the Gathering Grounds Coffee House at 7 o'clock. And Wednesday, we will be at Utopia at 8.
In Utopia at 8, definitely, definitely. And I know, Audacious, you have a book out that is for sale. I Can Make Walls Tall, Be Smooth. What do you have? What merchandise do you have that everybody needs in their house?
The name of my CD is called Thought You Knew. 10 tracks. You got spoken word and neo soul. So you're going to get a mixture of everything on 10 tracks, some acapella pieces and everything. But the name of the CD is Thought You Knew. It's actually being sold in retail stores in Dallas. You can purchase the CD online at myspace.com/LadyBeSmooth or soundclick.com/LadyBeSmooth. Reverb, find me. Google me.
Google her. She's Googleable. And if they do you have CDs with you while you're on the road, so if anyone comes out to the events, they can get them directly?
Man, they're going to be right there in my hand. We got products. For $10, I got CDs for $10, and say I even got some CDs for $5. If you really just want it and you ain't got too much money, I got some CDs, too, I can give you for $5 with all 10 tracks on. So y'all come out to Greenbrier. Y'all come pick up her book. It's only $9.95 in Madu bookstores. Come patronize the bookstores. Come give us a handshake, hug us, say what's up.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely. It's all about showing it. Nothing else. You have to support the arts and show love, because this is the difference between just having a regular job and being in some form of the art industry. Everything that you produce is like your baby. So, I mean, you know, you don't tell a person your kid is ugly. You know, you always, oh, your baby's so cute, you know, regardless of what it looks like. You have to do the same thing with art. Just go by and say hello, what's up. Show some love for the baby. Show the baby some love. The baby love the book and the CD, definitely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, ladies, I hope to see you today. If I can get back on 75 North and get there before it ends, I will definitely stop by Madu and say what's up. And all of the listeners, if you're in the Atlanta area, you don't have an excuse. If you do not go to Madu Books today to see them, you don't go to Apache tomorrow, you really just need to go tiptoe on Spaghetti Junction. I'm just saying. I don't know what else there is to live for after that point. You know, what else are you living for if you're not living to go see them? What are you living for?
I don't know. The Southern Maid Tour. I don't know.
Exactly. Well, ladies, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so excited. I'm telling you, Be Smooth. I don't know. I might be your groupie, too. I'm going to have to check
already,
out one of those.
Already. It's always wrong, Mama.
It's always real. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you all drive safe in this Atlanta traffic, and okay. I will definitely see you guys later. Have a great book signing.
All right. Thanks. Peace.
All right. Listeners, this is the part of the show where I get sad because we got to wrap it up, but definitely want you to check out the show next week. Definitely continue to look forward to the new show After Dark with Keisha Rell, which will be on Magic Groove. That's MAJICGROOVE, Magic Groove, Magic with a J, not a G. I'm telling you, I love you. I don't do this show for myself. I don't write for myself. I do it for you because I think that you are absolutely beautiful, and you are, I'm telling you, just the best thing ever. So right now, we're definitely going to go ahead and close out the show with one of my favorite poems. It's titled Funny. I love you. Hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, Kimberly Sherrill, K Sherrill, MySpace. One love. See you next week.
As I stand before you for the first time, somehow my heart knew it would not be the last time. When legs spread and tears were shed, it It's funny how she looks just like you, but laughs just like me. Oh, wow, if only you could see what I see. Looking back on the last time you and I shared a cry, funny, we really thought we had a lifetime. And though that's what we got, it's not quite what we thought. But what is a lifetime? Is a lifetime really forever? The end of a forever is what we fought. Sipping on tea between the sheets, oh baby, wasn't our life so sweet? Forever grateful to Master I will be for uniting you and me. And though I miss the days when our hearts were one, somehow my heart did not lie. It knew this would not be the last time. It's funny how she looks just like you.